Welcome to the Mystic Access Podcast, where the magic is in learning.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the April 2nd Mystic Access Podcast episode. I'm Kim.
I'm Chris.
We have to change it up every once in a while, y'all. Welcome to the episode. We have two hopefully interesting tidbits to share with you today. First, though, we want to thank those of you who attended our class on getting comfortable with computers. Really appreciated your time, your insights, and all those cool questions you shared on the registration form. They really helped us to tailor that to make it hopefully more of what you wanted and what you were looking for. And we hope you enjoyed it. And for those of you who weren't able to come, you can now visit
MysticAccessDownloads.com and download the event.
Yep, absolutely. And for those of you who haven't visited or explored that site, you can go there to get literally hundreds of hours of free stuff from us. So if you're new to us, you're thinking, I don't know what these people are all about. I've listened to their podcast, but I've never bought anything from them. Kind of want to know what their stuff's about. Then this will, again, help you to get an idea of who we are and what we offer. So you can kind of learn how we present and how we teach and see if our style is for you. So you're welcome to go check out MysticAccessDownloads.com. And there's all kinds of stuff. There's not just free events. There's all kinds of other things available there as well. So you're welcome to check that out, all free of charge. Now, let's talk about something that wasn't free of charge. We're going to return one final time to our saga of the Google Doorbell. And we've been hearing about this for a few episodes now, for one reason or another. We're going to finish it off today, and we're going to tell you the story of what happened and why we ended up choosing to buy a Google camera and kind of how that came about. So this is a little bit of a scary story, and it's also a story that hopefully provides some understanding on why you need to take initiative with these things. So do you want to tell the story?
Not really, but I will anyway.
Yeah, I don't either. It's kind of sad.
So what happened was, is as we said, we sent the Google Doorbell back to Amazon. And in doing that, we had UPS come and pick it up. At least that was the plan.
We had DoorDash come and pick it up.
Right. But at first, we had UPS come and pick it up because that's part of the story.
Yes.
So we go to Amazon, do a return, tell them we want UPS to pick it up and bring a label, which is cool. So what happened was is that the package was out on the chair, but it was raining.
It was raining hard.
And about 4:30 in the afternoon, we decided to pull the package in. And come to find out, 10 minutes later, UPS came and left the label. And we didn't know that until the next day when I went outside and there was a label hanging out on the handle. So UPS from Amazon only comes once. So we lost that opportunity to send it back. So what we decided to do was, because we had good luck with it in the past, we decided to have DoorDash come and take the package to UPS. So I make it happen, and I get a notification from DoorDash that says, hi, I'm here. And so I go outside, pick the package up that was in front of the Ring doorbell. Now, keep in mind that the Ring doorbell was not functioning. This is why we're even looking at Google to begin with. So I go outside, I pick up the package, and this person comes up to me and says, are you Chris? And I says, yeah. And he takes the package. Okay, good. It's on its way back to Amazon via UPS, via DoorDash. So I am thinking this is concluded. So I go and I do my own thing. I'm getting ready. You know, we're just getting ready for the day. And now this story needs to be turned over to Kim because Kim was sitting there minding her own business. And
I get a phone call. The guy says, hey, I'm your Dasher. I'm like, what? Yeah, I'm here to pick up your package. But I don't see a package. I'm confused. The package was already picked up. Well, I don't know anything about that, but that's why I'm here. And, you know, I'm at the house. Should I, like, knock or ring? He's like, no, we're here. But the package is gone. It was already picked up. So we're really confused. We don't understand. I don't know what to tell you. Maybe you just need to turn around. And I hate it for you because you're not going to get paid. So I don't know what to tell you. You know, probably just want to go back to find another person to dash to because I don't know what to say. It was very awkward. And so I hang up with this person and literally like 2 minutes later, I get another call. And this is from like DoorDash headquarters. Hey, what's the deal with this package? You know, essentially, you're supposed to have this package and the person ended up leaving because there was no package. And I'm like, well, I talked to that person. But there was a person who came before, and my husband dealt with it. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know what the deal was, but I know that that person had picked up the package. I didn't know about the text at that time, and I didn't know about the person asking for him by name. So basically, I was really confused, and I went in to talk to Chris because Chris wasn't able to talk at that time, and I went in and talked to him, and I said, hey, what the heck is going on? What's happening? So pass the story back to you because you then called DoorDash because you're the one who dealt with the first, quote, Dasher.
Right. So I called back DoorDash from Kim's phone because we just did a return, you know, from the phone app, found the number in history and just returned the call. So I was talking to the person, and keep in mind, we ordered breakfast earlier that day. So there were multiple Dashers that came to the house. But I was talking to this person, and I says I wasn't able to talk to anybody because of the fact that I was busy. And she had mentioned something about a text or a notification that she saw come in the logs that said, I am here. And it was at 8:24. I said, yeah, that sounds about right. So I filed a complaint with DoorDash that I basically accused them of this Dasher stealing the package right from under me. So to make a kind of long story short, because we could probably talk about this for like 3 hours. And what had happened was later that day, I got an email from someone from DoorDash package returns. And they said, well, you know, we called the Dashers and the Dasher said that there was no package. And I'm going on about this text. It's the only proof that I have is this text from 8:24 in the morning. And so I just basically laid into him and said, you know, what's up with this package? Check your timelines, right? Somebody came to the door and I handed him off this package. And I got this text message. It wasn't a text message. Sorry. I keep saying it's a text message, but it was a notification within the DoorDash app. So they were able to see this text message. Now, the next day, I felt so crummy about it because of the fact that, you know, I think it would have been better if you would have just stole it off the chair instead of me actually handing it to him.
Yes.
Because you kind of feel violated.
It's a different level of violation.
It is. So, basically, the next day we filed a police report. And they're like, would you like to press charges? We're like, no, we just want it as a record. And
we know this guy's around here. If it happens to somebody else, there's reports that says, oh, it happened to these people too.
Right.
Potentially the same person. Obviously, we couldn't really give a description to this person. We knew it was male. That's about all we knew.
Right. So basically, I went back and forth with DoorDash, and I gave him all the timelines. I gave him all this. He says, do you have video footage? And I says, no, we were doing the doorbell. So we were looking at alternatives for Ring. Because we wanted to see if we wanted to change our ecosystem from Ring to Google. So the doorbell was dead. It was kind of on the front house still, but it didn't work. And I said to him, too, I said, we had UPS come from Amazon to pick it up the day before we started with you guys. I said, basically, I thought they were calling me a liar because, you know, trying to get a couple hundred dollars out of DoorDash for reimbursement for this package that was stolen. And so I finally said to him at the end, I says, well, here's this. Here's the police report. Here's the number to the police station if you would like to call them and ask them. And I said to them too, I said, exactly why would we lie to them when it was supposed to go back to Amazon and we would have gotten our money back either way? So I got this response and he says, oh, it'll take 3 to 5 business days. It took one business day. I got my refund back and they decided. I said, well, I hope that, you know, you catch the person. And he says, well, we're going to do our own internal investigation. So they must have saw something. They must know.
Either that or they just told us that.
Right.
Which is the part I've always worried a little bit about.
Right. You hope that they don't.
Yeah.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense that this first person wasn't the Dasher. How else would they know your name and send you a message? It's the only thing that makes any sense.
Right. So I did some looking up online. Apparently this does happen. So be vigilant if you decide to do something like that. That's why DoorDash, they will not take anything worth more than $500. I had to send them Amazon receipts. I had to send them the label. So I took screenshots of the label that Amazon sent me, what was supposed to be in the package, how much it was worth, and all that stuff. So, you know, just be vigilant on this if you're asked to do these kinds of things. And the refund, because I didn't buy the doorbell from DoorDash, I bought it from Amazon. So there were two things they could have done for us. One was DoorDash credits, and the other one was a Visa gift card. So Visa gift card isn't going to let me put that money back onto the credit card. Neither did the DoorDash credits, but we opted for the DoorDash credits anyways because
we knew we'd use them eventually.
Right. So
the problem with that, of course, is the fact that we still owed Amazon that money.
Right, exactly. So, you know, you're still owed them the $200, which is fine. It is what it is.
Yeah.
You know, you can't return it. It's not there. It's gone. It's
on somebody else's door.
Right.
Somebody in this city has our doorbell on their door.
Right.
Which sucks.
Which does. But, you know, you wonder why he did that. I don't know why.
But you suspect. Tell your suspicion.
I suspect that he figured I couldn't see him, so he'd get away with it.
If you hadn't have gone out there, I wonder if our doorbell would have been stolen. Interesting little thing. He also may have been able to see, and probably could, that the camera was not working.
Yeah.
The camera on our ring.
Right. Because I think lights come on and stuff when things are recording. So we kind of lost that opportunity of footage. The officers also asked us if we had footage, and we said, no, we did not, because blah, blah, blah. He goes, yeah, no wonder why you're trying a new doorbell.
Exactly.
You know. So, and you're not going to file a police report and lie to the police about a $200 thing.
Nope.
You know?
Nope. That's going to be on your record if you're caught doing that. So you're not going to do that. So hopefully that was one of the things, because we had talked about it. We said, should we file? Should we file? And finally he's like, I'm just going to do it. So he ended up calling the cops. And by the time we came back downstairs, the cops were there because this was early in the morning the next day. So The cop was very nice, not patronizing at all, in spite of the circumstances, you know, that could have been perceived as laughable to some people. He was very nice about it.
He says, I understand why you have a camera. I said, yeah, it's our eyeballs.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's extra important to us. And he got that. So, you know, that part was fine. That was a pleasant experience. You know, you don't want to have to do it, but for what it was a good experience. And yeah, so that's our story. And, you know, just be cautious. And our alternative to doing this through DoorDash in future, because we're not going to do it through DoorDash anymore, because one of the things that you said to them was about their GPS.
Right. I said, you know, if you don't have logs for your drivers, you need to get logs for your drivers, you know, for your GPS position. This guy didn't stop his car 4, 5, 10 blocks away and run to the house in enough time to send that notification and then be away from his car. It's just not going to happen. Or, you know, maybe with his phone or something. I don't know. It's all app related, I guess. So I suppose he could have done that, but he'd be carrying his phone around in order to hit the notification. So... but that's what I said. And I think if we do it again, as I told the guy, that I'm a little leery of doing this again, just because, you know, it'll never happen again to us.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, the chance that it did is kind of, you know, we sent her mom an iPad. And if we would have done the same thing with DoorDash and they would have got a nice iPad, that would not have been cool.
That would have been our stupidity for putting a $1,000 device in a $500, what was supposed to be a $500 package.
Or right, maximum $500. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that would have been dumb. So you just think about that every time you put something out that, you know, you have no control over once it leaves your place.
Mm-mm. Or your hand.
Right. Or your hand. So, but we just wanted to let you know, and that's one of the reasons why in the last episode, Kim was talking about a Google camera. Right.
We wanted more eyes, as it were, on that front portion of our house.
Right. And the camera, if it's plugged in, the Google Cam can record 24/7.
That's what we did. We were actually paying for a plan. We had to get another plan to make sure that we could have that 10 days of recording or whatever it is.
Right. 10 days of 24/7 recording. So
if we need it, we have it.
Right.
And to go back to what I was saying a minute ago, what we've decided to do in future is it Uber Eats?
Yes.
Uber Eats has a similar one, but you get the license plate.
Right. When the person's on their way to pick it up, you get the license plate, kind of like you do with Uber. So you get the license plate, the name of the car, and the type of the car.
So that at least is a lot more to go on, should you need it.
Right.
So it's just a cautionary tale. It's a sad story. Our doorbell disappeared. We were just going to send it back to Amazon. But I guess we learned something out of it. And, you know, you have to be proactive about these things and just know that these things could happen to you, even in a safe neighborhood.
Yes, it was the money. I mean, I'm not going to sit there and say that we didn't want our money back. Of course, we wanted our money back. But it was more to get the person caught.
Yes. It could have been anything. It could have been anything this person took. We were grateful it wasn't some kind of sentimental thing that we were sending off as a present.
Right.
Or something like that. Something that was a treasure that somebody would get and not even want and would toss it out on the street. So it's definitely a violation. It's definitely a sad thing. And it definitely shook us up. Him especially, because he gave it to the guy.
Right.
So, you know. And we don't even know, the sad thing is, we don't even know the guy's first name, because usually you get their first names. I wasn't even looking at it at the time.
Neither was I.
And so we don't even know who he was supposed to be.
I was waiting. And what happens, too, with DoorDash, from what I was reading, is people can unassign. They can assign themselves an order, and then somewhere during that order, they can unassign it, which then goes to a different Dasher. And we believe that that is exactly what the person did.
So hopefully this is helpful to somebody, and we just wanted to share our story. Have you received mail, email, or phone calls that used tactics to fill you with fear or intimidate you? Are companies claiming you owe them money when you're quite sure you don't? Or that hundreds or even thousands of dollars of products or services have been fraudulently charged to you? Have you been told that hackers have gotten into your phone or computer and you must pay to get rid of them? You may be the target of scams. Every day, unscrupulous scammers attempt to extort money from unsuspecting people just like you. For those who are less tech-savvy or without as much experience using the internet, the tactics of scammers may be harder to understand. In order to learn how to avoid scams and protect yourself from the loss and heartache they cause, it's important to know how scammers try to take advantage of their victims. We're proud to introduce our extensive audio course, Staying Safe from Scams. Created from a blindness perspective, this 3.5-hour audio discusses a wide variety of scams you may encounter and how they're run. Learn to keep your money right where it belongs, in your bank account, and how to keep ruthless scammers from ruining your life or the lives of the people you love. We discuss scams including Medicare, Social Security, Internet Provider, Publishers Clearinghouse, and romance scams, among many others. Hear the alarming and often appalling stories of other blind and low vision people who have experienced scams and find out what they did to stay safe. Discover tips, techniques, and plenty of resources to help educate and protect yourself. Visit mysticaccess.com/safe-from-scams for all the details and to purchase your audio in both DAISY and MP3 formats or on physical media shipped straight to your door for a minimal additional cost. Or call us at 716-543-3323 to place your order via phone. We'd love the opportunity to teach you powerful strategies for staying safe from scams. Visit mysticaccess.com/safe-from-scams to learn to protect yourself starting today. So now, on to something hopefully a lot more fun and interesting to those of you who are into such things. Let's talk about a huge event that's happening. It's happening in various places across the U.S., but it's particularly huge for us. And that is the April 8th solar eclipse.
Right. April 8th, 2024.
Yeah.
So why is this a big deal here?
Because we are in what's called full totality. There's only a little swath. How many miles? You know the mileage.
I believe it's 67 mile wide.
I mean, that's crazy. 67 miles. That's going to be in full totality for this eclipse. And we are part of that. So we are having eclipse fever up here. And it is crazy. They're letting kids out of school. I mean, people are planning where they're going to go and what they're going to do. All the breweries have their eclipse brews on tap or will. It's going to be wild here in a couple weeks. We are so excited.
The thing is, though, it hasn't been done here in 99 years.
No, we've not had anything like this in 99 years. And we won't have another solar eclipse in the U.S. for 20 years. So we're all going to be much older when we have the next one. And we probably won't get totality wherever we are. So this is a huge deal. The last eclipse in 2017, the last major solar eclipse in 2017, was cool for me. I definitely enjoyed it. And we didn't get anywhere near totality. It was just kind of dark for a few minutes. It was kind of cool, though. But this one is going to be a very different experience. And we've kind of of prepared for this because one thing that a lot of people don't know about us is when we first met, one of the first really serious conversations that we had was about astronomy and what's out there and the planets and the stars. And we discovered very quickly that it was something that both of us really enjoyed and appreciated. So it was kind of one of the things that brought us together. Aww. So as a result, we are particularly looking forward to this. We got married on the night of the height of the Perseids in 2021. So, you know, we love stuff like this and we're really looking forward to it. And there's going to be events everywhere. But rather than trying to go to an event, we are going to do it here at our house. But before we talk about that, talk about the, and we can even link to this. Chris saw a story on NPR about a cool little box that has been invented. And tell him about that.
Yeah, first I want to talk about what is the path of totality.
Yes, please do.
So you're just throwing around these words that nobody understands.
Well, that's why we're going to tell you.
So the path of totality means it is a total eclipse. So for about 3 minutes, 3 minutes and 18 seconds or something like that, the moon will cover the sun. There will be no sun at all. You will not see any sliver of sunlight. And basically, the funny thing is, this starts... The moon starts to cover the sun at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. It goes until about 4:30 Eastern time. This is at PM. And about, I want to say 3:17, you got 3 minutes of totality where the moon will totally eclipse the sun. So we've got ourselves a pair of glasses for the, you know, the solar eclipse. They were like $7 on Amazon.
For two.
And they're cardboard, but they'll protect whatever retinas we have left.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're not supposed to look into the sun, but you don't want to accidentally look into the sun. You don't want to accidentally look up. Even in totality, you don't want to look into where the sun would be. So we're hoping for clear skies.
Yes. Everyone cross your fingers for sunny skies.
Well, sunny and clear. So, but this NPR, going back to that, there's this little box that was made by, I believe, Harvard. And it is kind of a light detector. So if you're outside during the eclipse, you can actually hear the eclipse.
It makes different vibrations.
It makes different vibrations. It makes different melodies. And you only hear like a click, 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 click when it's in total. So when the moon is covering the sun, it's total. There's nothing. There's no light. I don't remember the 2017 eclipse. I remember doing it or being a part of it. But I don't remember, like Kim said, that it cooled down quite a bit and crickets came out. It was like a whole nighttime
event. It was like a switch flipped and it became night in a second. It was the strangest, coolest experience. And that eclipse was in August. So it was nice and warm, and it was just good timing for an eclipse. And like I said, when I was there in North Carolina, we didn't get any kind of totality or anything like that, but we still got to experience some of it, enough of it for it to become night. And that was just very, very cool. It was a really fun experience.
I might try and see if I can record ambience when it goes behind the moon to see if the sounds and everything just changes. That would be pretty interesting audio-wise. So I'm going to might try and do that. I don't know if that's even going to work, but we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see. There are actually some scientists are trying to find out and recruiting volunteers for checking experiments, like what kind of crickets are out and what's going on out there as in terms of the soundscape. So that's pretty cool. You can look up all kinds of things about this. I'll try and link to a couple interesting resources. But basically what they do is they send you these little, there's some kind of mics and they like clip onto trees and things and you can kind of see what's going on out there and send that data back. So it's very, very cool. And there's a lot of excitement around this eclipse because it's very rare.
They're expecting between 500,000 and 1 million people or something to come through.
They're putting out like cautionary alerts, like, you know, unless you're watching the eclipse, don't be out there if you don't need to. I mean, it's going to be a crazy day. So it's essentially a 3-day weekend for us up here because I think a lot of people are going to be playing hooky just to watch the eclipse.
Oh, probably.
Because it's kind of a treasure.
So how do you experience an eclipse if you can't see it? Well, we just talked about the little box from NPR.
And that is available if you go to certain events. So not everyone's going to have a little box, but there are events and places where the little boxes will be.
Right.
And you'll be able to experience them if you go to certain events. But you can't guarantee, obviously, that your event has a box I don't know. How many? Do you remember how many they said they'd made or were distributing out?
I don't remember, but there are quite a few of them here in Buffalo for obvious reasons.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So if you're somewhere near where there's Totality.
But you have to do it with an organization such as the Buffalo Museum of Science.
Yes.
They're actually one of the places. Because I contacted the company and I said, that's kind of cool. They actually have a place on their website where if you're skilled with soldering and stuff, you can actually make one of these boxes.
Yeah, you can make your own. It tells you how to do it.
Yeah, they give you the instructions on how to do it. So that's fun.
It's cool. I'll make sure to, again, link to some of this information for those of you who are kind of interested in learning more about the eclipse and things, because no matter where you are in the States or parts of Canada, you should be able to enjoy parts of this.
Something, right.
Something, yeah. And it will pass over Mexico as well, so I don't want to forget any of our Mexican friends or anyone in Mexico. You will be able to see the eclipse as well. So you're not completely out. I'm not just talking to those of you who are in the path of totality here. I'm talking to everybody. You can enjoy lots of it. You know, you can still get a kick out of it and enjoy it. So if you're into science, if this is something that interests you and you have time on that Monday the 8th, then this can be something you can check out too. And that takes us back to what you were saying about, well, if we're not going to an event, if we don't have a box, what can we do? Well, there are a few things. If you're around here, and you won't get this everywhere in the country, but if you're around here, there are certain radio stations that will actually be doing eclipse coverage all the way
live
through.
Live events, I'm going to try and tune into that. They're going to do a description, which would be kind of interesting to see what they would say, you know, what it's doing, you know, just your Joe.
One of particular interest is the Niagara Frontier Radio Reading Service. They're going to be doing a 2-hour program. So that could be particularly good because it's aimed for this audience. So anyone remotely interested might want to check that out. You can get that on your streams. You can look it up on their website, which is nfradioreading.org. So you can check that out if you'd like. And it might just be a matter of recording some of this stuff because doing it all at once might be a little bit, you know, overwhelmed trying to do all these things at the same time.
Right.
So we'll have to see how we end up doing it, but we're definitely just going to go out and sit on our porch and enjoy the eclipse from here. So there's the radio. You know, you've got that option. There'll be plenty of newspaper and television coverage as the day progresses, certainly. But there's another way, and this is a tool that I actually used back in 2017. Don't know how I learned about it, but I think you probably told me about it. I think you learned about it before I did.
I think I did.
And it's an app. So those of you who have smartphones, either Android or iOS, can check this out. And it is a really cool app. It's free, and it's called Eclipse Soundscapes.
Yes, and there are both iOS and Android versions.
Correct.
So what we're going to do here, and apologies for the kind of sounds.
Today we're going to show you on Android.
So we're going to...
They're very similar.
They are. Device unlocked. Microsoft launcher. So I'm going to go to Recents. And there it is, because I opened it.
Eclipse Soundscapes walkthrough. Page 1 of 5, out of list. Welcome. Thank you for downloading the Eclipse Soundscapes app, a multi-sensory experience for people learning styles to engage with astronomical events, annular and total solar eclipses. Inside this app, you will find countdowns to major astronomical events in your area, and real-time narrations of those events with illustrative audio descriptions. You can also explore the cosmos with high-quality photos, educational information, and accessible learning tools. This app is available in English and Spanish. To change the language within the application, go to the menu. Next page, button. Page 2 of 5, skip, button. Edge panels, window edge. Page 2 of 5, window eclipse soundscapes walkthrough. Rumble map. Our Rumble map tool is designed for you to hear and feel astronomical phenomena, such as eclipses, using the touchscreen and the speakers on your smartphone. For example, the Rumble map will display photos of the moon passing in front of the sun during the most engaging and educational moments of an eclipse. When you touch the image on the screen, the app will read the grayscale value of a pixel underneath your finger and play an audio tone which will vibrate your phone with a strength relative to the brightness of that section. As you move your finger onto the bright sections of the sun, your phone will vibrate more. As you move your finger into the dark spaces blocked by the moon's disk, the vibration will diminish and disappear. By paying close attention to the audio tones and the strength of your phone's vibration, you can learn how much sunlight is visible at each stage of the eclipse and explore some of the fascinating features of the sun's corona. Double... Next page, button. Page 3 of 5. Eclipse Center. The Eclipse Center is your go-to destination for learning about eclipses in your area so you can discover them as they happen. When you open the Eclipse Center, it will ask to pinpoint your geographic location. Once you accept, you will find a countdown to the next eclipse, information on whether you will experience a total or a partial solar eclipse in your area, and the exact start time, peak time, and end time of the eclipse. Next page, button. Page 4 of 5. Audio descriptions. When it is time for the next eclipse to start, you will receive a push notification to open Eclipse Soundscapes. The app will then guide you through the main event with illustrative audio descriptions of an eclipse's most important moments. These audio descriptions, provided by the National Center for Accessible Media, are explanations of photos developed with specialized language to help people who are blind and visually impaired engage with an eclipse. After each audio description ends, you will have the option to either hear more educational information or explore that feature of an eclipse using the Rumble map. Next page, button. Page 5 of 5. Skip. Edge panels. Please allow location access, window eclipse soundscapes walkthrough. You don't want to miss this amazing astronomical event. We'll need access to your location to show you information about the eclipse. Location permission, button. Not now, button. Location permission, button.
So I'm going to go there.
Allow eclipse soundscapes to access this device's location. Not selected, approximate, radio, while using the app, button, out of left. Center. Eclipse center. Next eclipse info. Eclipse type, total solar eclipse. Date, April 8th, 2024. Countdown until next eclipse. Countdown until eclipse from your location, 0 years, 0 months, 4 days, 7 hours, 17 minutes, and 25 seconds.
So there you go.
Years, 0. Months, 0. Days, 11. Hours, 7. Minutes, 17. Next eclipse at your location. Percent eclipse, 100.00%. Duration of totality, 3 minutes and 45 seconds.
Well, there we go.
Event from closest location. I was close. Start of partial eclipse, local time, 2:04 and 56 seconds p.m., universal time, 18:04 and 56 seconds point 4. Event from closest location, start of total eclipse, local time, 3:18 and 19 seconds p.m., universal time, 19:18 and 19 seconds point 2. Event from closest location, maximum eclipse, local time, 3:20 and 11 seconds p.m., universal time, 19:20 and 11 seconds point 2. Event from closest location, end of total eclipse, local time, 3:22 and 2 seconds p.m., universal time, 19:22 and 2 seconds point 7. Event from closest location, end of partial eclipse, local time, 4:32 and 5 seconds p.m., universal time, 20:32 and 5 seconds point 6. Selected, center, tab 1 of 4, in list, 4 items.
So you've got 4 tabs.
Features, tab 2 of 4. Media, tab 3 of 4. Menu, tab 4 of 4. Edge panels, media. Features.
So let's go to features and features. Take a peek.
Selected. Features. Media. Tab 3 of 4. Menu. Edge panels. Features. Window. Annular solar eclipse. The annular eclipse begins 2 of 14. Open description of. Annular phase begins 3 of 14. Open description of.
Let's see what this says.
Annular phase begins. Navigate up. Button. Out of left. Annular phase begins. This image is of the phenomenon called Bailey's beads. In this stage, the moon has moved in front of the sun. The sun's light is reduced to a thin C-shape or crescent, shining at the edge of the moon. Bailey's beads look like a few glowing pearls at the ends of the crescent. Bailey's beads occur because the moon's surface is not smooth. It is covered by mountains and valleys. Bailey's beads are caused by sunlight beaming between the mountains and through the valleys on the moon when the sun begins to peak around the moon's edge. After Bailey's beads disappear, the annular phase begins. Bailey's beads are named for an English astronomer named Sir Francis Bailey. Sir Francis published his observations after seeing these bright beads of light during the May 15, 1836 annular solar eclipse. And, even though Sir Francis was not the first person to observe this phenomenon, he was the first to publish his observations. This image was taken by Tala Zia in Sucker, Pakistan. Tala did not use a solar filter, which can be dangerous. To protect their eyes, Tala did not look into the lens. Tala set up a camera with a telescope on a motorized mount that followed the sun to protect the camera lens. Tala limited the amount of light by setting a very short exposure time. Visit the Rumble map to explore this image of Bailey's beads through touch and sound. The absence of light is silent and still. Can you feel and hear where the sun's light creates several beads dotted along a ring of light? This image is of the phenomenon called back recense button.
So that gives you an idea of what the description is going to be.
There are great descriptions. And when the eclipse is actually going on, you can open this app and it will walk you through and tell you exactly what's going on. It's really cool. Somebody worked really hard on this app. And I'm so glad it's back. I actually looked for it a few weeks ago and it wasn't back in the app store. At least I couldn't find it. And then you found it and said, hey, there's Eclipse Soundscapes. I'm like, hey, I was looking for that. So I don't know why I couldn't find it the first time, but I'm really glad that I have it back on my phone.
I was looking in my recent apps for another app, and I saw it, and I was like, oh, I'll just go download it again.
Yeah, we had both used it in 2017, which seems like a lifetime ago.
So it's part of your app library if you've downloaded it once before, and it's hopefully still works, which it does.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, for those of you who are iOS users, you'll find this is very, very similar to how you'll use it on iOS. You've got the tabs along the bottom, and you can just pick what is of interest to you. You can explore the Rumble map. You've got all kinds of things in here that you can check out, and we're so glad we have it because it's going to be especially special for those of us who get to be in full totality. But definitely check it out, no matter where you're going to be, because you can kind of wander around and see how much sun is peeping out from behind the moon.
Exactly.
So if you're into science and you like this kind of thing, or you know others who are going to experience it and you want to experience it too, and you want to be able to talk about it around the water cooler, as it were, then this is definitely something to check out. Eclipse Soundscapes for iOS or Android, and I will definitely provide a link in the show notes. So the show notes will be full of good science eclipse goodness this time. So definitely visit mysticaccesspodcast.com to check those out if you're interested.
Well, we've had some dark times in this podcast, probably in both stories, but one dark is better than the other dark.
Yeah, for sure.
So we will see you in a couple of weeks and probably have something about our experiences to talk about. It'll be fun.
Yes. So join us then. And if you get to enjoy it, we hope you have a great time and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Bye.
Bye. And now for the blooper reel.
But we just wanted to let you know, and that's one of the reasons why in the last episode, Kim was talking about a Google doorbell. Or not the Google doorbell, the camera. Right. So what we're going to do here, and apologies for the kind of sounds, but we're going to... Whoops, this is the wrong phone. We don't want to use that phone.
No, today we're going to show you on Android. Join us then, and if you get to enjoy it, hope you have a great experience, and we'll see you in April. Bye!
You were already in April.
Oh, never mind, then we won't see you in April. We hope you have a great time, and we'll see you in 2 weeks.
The preceding podcast is a presentation of Mystic Access, where the magic is in learning. If you are blind or visually impaired and wish to experience less stress and more fun on your unique assistive technology journey, our comprehensive audio documentation and additional offerings are here to support you. We welcome your visit at mysticaccess.com. That's mysticaccess.com. Have a question or wish to place an order via phone? Call us at 716-543-3323. If you have comments to share about this episode, follow our phone menu prompts to reach our Mystic Access podcast comment line. Email us at info@mysticaccess.com and connect with us on social media, Mastodon, mysticaccess.online, and facebook.com/mysticaccessempower. Would you like to spread the word about our podcasts? Anyone may explore our extensive archives and subscribe to receive our bi-weekly episodes at mysticaccesspodcast.com. If you enjoy our content, please consider rating and reviewing us on Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Spotify, or your favorite podcast platform. Thanks for spreading the word and for being a listener. We hope you enjoyed this episode.